praise the Lord. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you will give us insight and understanding to be able to comprehend this message. In the last message, I was basically preaching. This time, I'm going to do a form of teaching. So there's a difference between preaching and teaching. So that we're going to go through a lot of Bible verses to give us this exhortation. And I believe the Lord will give you understanding. In the Lord actually wanted us to sing this song in the Only Believes hymn book, number 25, that says, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Well, you can look through the wordings of this, of that song. I wanted to ask a question from all of us. And the question goes like this. Why do we have to surrender all? Can anybody give us some explanation? Why do we have to surrender all? The brother said, because we were bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his born servants. That's a good answer. Another sister said, because he is our master. Another fellow said, because he is our Lord. And so many explanations were given why we have to surrender all. Now, we are going to go into this. I'm going to lead to the reason why I asked that question in a moment. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17. The topic of the message you all remember is marriage relationship. Marriage is a relationship. Just like you have relationship in your offices, between employees, between your boss and you, or if you are the boss, between you and the employee that you have, is a relationship. There are ways to relate one to another that will be appropriate, that will make it to be in harmony. The same thing, marriage is a relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, the Bible has given us a model, a paradigm. In Ephesians chapter 5, Apostle Paul talks about Christ and the church, that as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the wife. Now, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verse 17. And it says thus, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I go to verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, when you look at the relationship between Christ and the church, we can categorize this relationship in four areas. The relationship we as the church, when I say church, now I'm talking of you as a person, a disciple of Christ, and me as a person, that is individual one of us with Christ. What relationship do we have with him? And that is the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the church of the living God, not the corporate body as if to say a building or congregation, but individual believer and Christ. That is the relationship we are talking about. We have a master disciple relationship with him. Not to use the word master servant, but a teacher and a disciple. There's a relationship between a teacher and a disciple. There's also a relationship that we have with Christ that is like a friend to friend. You see your best friend? Christ is expected to be our best friend also, individually. He's expected to be my best friend. Somebody I walk with. He said that you, Enoch, walked with God. So when you walk with somebody, it's like friends. I will point to some Bible verses in a moment for each category that I'm talking about and relate it to ourselves. And that is also a category. If we are bride to Christ, what do you expect? We have these four areas of relationship. And when we interpolate it back to husband and wife, these four relationships also should be what areas we should relate to one another, that we make harmony. But the reason why I'm bringing out this issue here is to make you to see that even though this relationship look like human relationship, but with Christ, he puts a clause in every one of them. For example, friend and friend. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, there's a relationship we can have with him, which is like a lover relationship between us and Christ. He is my lover. If I'm the bride and he is the bridegroom, he is a lover for me and I'm a lover for him. Then the fourth relationship category I would say we have with Christ is Lord and worshiper. That is, he is our Lord and we are worshiping him. So we are worshippers of the Lord. Now, these are four areas of relationship we have with Christ, as we as church and Christ as the head of the church. We have a Lord and Lordship relationship between him being our Lord and we worship him. Then we have a lover relationship. Then we have friends to friends relationship. Then we have a teacher to disciple relationship. Now, every one of these relationships has a tie, a cord that binds the two together. Let's talk, for example, about friend-to-friend relationship that we have with Christ. When you look back also with husband and wife, we are expected to be friends also. You should be your best friend. Remember that. She should be your best friend. Remember that. Now, with Christ, he put a clause in his own friendship. And with that clause, we have to also that if we are actually saying, as Christ is to the church, so is the husband to the wife, there must be a clause in that friendship also. Let's see the clause that Christ put in his own friendship with us. John chapter 15. Let's read verse 14. John chapter 15. Verse 14. Here Christ was talking to his disciples and to us. He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, just listen to that. That is the terms of his friendship with us, the church. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You may say, well, is that friendship? He is like the boss. If he's commanding me and I have to do what he's saying. Well, that is the terms. And it has to be in his own terms. On his own terms. Now, you may say, well, what about husband and wife? It's got to be the same thing. When God created Adam, he sent Adam on a mission. Like I preached in the other sermon. Adam is the mission holder. God gave him a mission. Now, God gave Adam a wife to help him out. To help him and help meet for him. Now, we are given to Christ like the bride of Christ. But we have to be related to him according to his terms, his kingdom. Whose kingdom do you think it is? Is it the kingdom of the church or kingdom of Christ? It's Christ's kingdom, friends. And so we have to relate to him. We have to relate to Christ on his own terms. So remember that. And when we say that, then it tells us to make that it will make us to be humble. In fact, Apostle Paul make it clear. He said in his own epistles that we as Gentiles were grafted in unto the fruitful vine, and the old Israel, the Hebrews, were grafted off as a like, and we like a wife olive tree were grafted in. He said, "But don't be proud, be humble." So what I'm pointing out is to make us to be humble before the Lord Jesus Christ as the church. Now, the same way when you bring it between husband and wife, who does the proposing? Christ also said in a place, he said that ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we can say that is the same similar thing with husband and wife. Who does the proposing? The husband, at least in our culture, the husband proposed to the wife. So, everything has to be on the husband's terms. You have to remember that. Just like Christ said here, his friendship with us is on his own terms. Amos chapter 3, let's read from verse 1 to 3. To see the type of relationship that Christ has with his church. And it has to be on his terms, like I said. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the old family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now that is the key verse. We can't walk with him except we agree with him. Two have to work together, but it's only when they agree. So we've got to be in agreement to work together. Now, the terms, like I said, that's the friendship. But to be on his own terms, he said, you are my disciple when you do my commandment, which means working together is actually working according to his terms and not according to our terms. That is, he's not going to condescend to our way of life. We are to take his way of life. Now, you may say, this is crude when you bring that to husband and wife. Yes, it looks better. I'm trying to make us to see that that is the ideal. That is the ideal that the Lord is revealing to us. As Christ is to the church, so is husband to the wife. We are not there yet. I always try to emphasize that we are not there yet. But the ideal has been set up for us. Just like salvation, we are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ as believers. We are not there yet when we are saved. We are to become sons of God. But we are to, as long as we have the heart pursuing that goal, God is pleased that we are pursuing the goal. After preaching this exhortation, you may say, well, I think I'm okay the way I am. If that is like saying you don't want to pursue that goal or that ideal. But remember, when Adam and Eve lost their glory, which was the perfect glory that God gave to them before, God still came down to help them out. That is, if you decide and say, gee, I don't think I can, me and my husband, me and my wife, we are okay the way we are made the arrangement. and that arrangement is like a living arrangement and it's okay with us. Trying to pursue this idea seems to be too much for you. If that is your response to this type of exhortation, I will say God will still help you, and to you that are just trying to work it out and more or less live the way you are and not try to pursue any idea, God has put all of those exhortations on communication and all those type of things that will help you out in life, just like He gave to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost their glory. God didn't forsake them. He brought to them animal skin to cover their shame. So, but if you are one of them that wanted to please the Lord, wanted to walk with God like Enoch walked with God and disappear with Him, like we are all waiting for, He's setting on before us the ideal relationship so that we can pursue that ideal. He said, as church, as Christ is the head of the church, so is the husband the head of the wife. So we are now analyzing the relationship we have with Christ and try to bring that to the relationship we, husband and wife, should have with one another. And on whose terms should it be? Should it be on our terms or on Christ's terms? Then you also begin to relate that between you and your spouse. On whose terms should it be? Who is the mission given to Adam? Now, I want to make sure that you, brother, that are listening to me, don't come and say, you hear what Brother Julius say, you must do this, you must do that. That will be pride again, because remember, humility is what Christ also portrayed. Even though we are saying these things about our relationship with Christ, but what did Christ say? He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Christ is a meek master. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Except somebody is the devil that finds something wrong with God. But the Bible, all of us know, God is a good God. And why in the world is any spirit called Satan find something wrong and say he wanted to do it some way? Because he's Satan. So if we don't have that spirit of Satan in us, we shouldn't find this thing difficult to submit to. But that flesh manifestation we try to manifest, and we are to willingly submit to this word of the living God. It is a choice. Love is a decision. I mentioned something. I said, I like something I read in the Constitution of America. In their Constitution, they make mention of one thing, that the government that is set up is ruling the people according to the will of the people. That is, the people, it says, is the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people made this government, people that they have elected, to rule over them willingly. That is, it is according to their will. If it's not willingly, then it's oppression. That is, if you are going to submit to Christ, it has to be willingly. From within you, you surrender to Christ. So that it doesn't have to bounce our head and say, surrender to me, surrender to me. I'm the head, I'm the Lord. No. But we have to choose to surrender to Him. It's our own will, by our own free will. And Christ has made that all from the beginning. He gave Adam a choice, and He blew it. The same way He said that He has chosen us, but it's still your free will to follow Him. So, when we say all of these things are according to God's, according to the terms of the Lord, who is the bridegroom, similarly, when you are going to submit to your husband, it has to be your free will. It's willingly from within you and not by compulsion. If you find your flesh reacting against it, you have to deal with your flesh and say, I have to voluntarily give in to what the Lord is saying here. That is what we are talking about here, and not the husband bouncing on the wall and say, you hear what Brad Jesus said, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's from his own free will, from our own free will. As it is from our own free will, we submit it to Christ voluntarily. Now, I said There are four areas of relationship that you have with Christ. The one we just mentioned is friends to friends. What about master and disciple? That is a teacher and a disciple. This relationship, it brings what we want to really have, divine love, when it is really well done. When we do it right, the relation between the teacher and the disciple brings a cord of divine love between us. It doesn't, even without thinking of husband and wife, think of when you convert somebody. Because we as the Church of the Living God, we are always waiting upon the Lord to hear revelation from Him. He is our teacher, our great teacher. So that relation between us and Christ as a teacher to a disciple is what makes us to have a longing to hear Him, to receive revelation from Him, to be taught by the Lord Himself, either in visions or in dreams or in revelation, or from the Word of Living God, according to the Holy Ghost that He has put into our heart. Now, that's the teacher-disciple relationship. Now, that you see another example of that in John chapter 15, verse 15, where Christ said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." That is, as a teacher and disciple, He will teach us all things. And let's see another example. A good example of a teacher and a disciple is found in Apostle Paul in Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. But let's read that. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, verse 17. Remember, we are still dealing with husband and wife relationship, and we are trying to pattern it after the Church and the Christ and the Church relationship, and saying, why do we have to surrender our all to Christ? Is it because He is our lover? Yeah, there's a need for surrendering something if it's lover relationship. Or is it because He's our Lord and we're worshiping Him? Yeah, there's a need to surrender something. Or is it because He is our friend? You say, which friend would I might go to surrender everything to? Or what about if He's our teacher or disciple? But you see, the whole package, He's saying it has to be in His own terms. And we have to surrender all to Him to be able to enjoy this relationship with Christ. Same way between husband and wife. Have you surrendered all to Christ? The same way, are you, wife, ready to surrender all to your husband so that he can love you unconditionally or wholeheartedly? Because everything, when we surrender all, that's when we are enjoying the best of Christ. The same way, when you surrender all to your husband, even if he's not, if in the household of God, when the husband is filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to enjoy all the best of the husband. Now let's look at this relationship between disciple and the master. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 verse 17. Here Apostle Paul was on his way to Jerusalem and he sent to call the elders. Those are the people that he has converted, and they are now elders in the church in Ephesus. And from Miletus, verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Achaia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons," verse 21, "testifying both to the Jews," or verse 20, let me read verse 20, "and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and unto the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now what I'm pointing out is in verse 20 where he said he kept back nothing that is profitable. That is the teacher-disciple relationship. We make a teacher, if there is a cord of love between them, we make that teacher want to teach the disciple everything the teacher knows. And that's what Christ just alluded to. He said, "I have revealed to you all that I have heard from my Father." And Apostle Paul revealed the same thing here, that he has held nothing back that is profitable to them. Verse 27 also said the same thing. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That was Apostle Paul. So, and he was talking to the disciple that he converted. It brings a cord of love. That is the same relationship that husband you have with his wife. That's why Apostle Paul was saying, wives, learn, if you want to learn anything, learn from your husband at home. when you can be a disciple of your husband, you may say, well, my husband does not know as much scripture as me. But if you will humble yourself and be a disciple to your husband, wanting to learn from him, he will be teaching you everything he knows. He will want to teach you everything he knows, just like Christ said, just like Apostle Paul said. Remember when Christ was visited the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was busy with all the cooking and dishes, but Mary sat at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, learning and asking questions. And Christ said, that is what is preferable. You see, now when that brings a cord of love between the divine love we are asking for, the agape love, it comes by the word of God. When that word of God is not there between husband and wife, or when there is competition, I know better than you, you know better than me, kind of a thing between husband and wife, the cord of love is broken. But when there is a disciple and master relationship between the husband and wife, where the wife is listening, sitting at the feet and learning from her husband all the precepts of life, you may say, I know better than this, but just be humble and learn in humility. Then you will be seeing the Lord, the great teacher himself, teaching your husband to bring walls that will edify you. To you be surprised. Why? Because you are lining yourself up with the head, and the head, who is a child of God, Christ, Christ-like, and born again, will line himself up with Christ. That is what Apostle Paul, in fact, Apostle Peter even says something here. He said, if your husband is not standing in his place, you don't try to push him into place, no. You don't try to nag him into place, no. You don't try to push him into place. He said, but leave it. Leave the life of Christ before him. Hospital. That is what will make the husband to want to know more, to want to learn more from Christ, so that he can be a teacher, a pastor in his house indeed. It's like giving somebody a responsibility, a new believer that suddenly is made to be a pastor. And if he does not want to be embarrassing himself, he's going to want to study hard and pray. Like Solomon. Solomon became king. He knew that he was a young man, and he knew that there are elders in Israel before him that are wiser and older. And what did he ask from the Lord? He said, I need wisdom, Lord, to lead these your people, these great people. And God said, that is the right thing. And because he was suddenly made a pastor, think of that. When you surrender to your husband, wives, and you want to learn from him, even though you say, well, I've been in Christ before him, I know the scriptures more than him, he's just a new person, that you are humble enough to let him be the head and let him be the pastor, and you will begin to see the difference. That husband will begin to want to know more, want to search more, and the Lord, the great teacher, will begin to let him get more from him as he is wanting more, because he that seeketh findeth. Now let's go again and see the lover-to-lover relationship that we have with Christ. Do you have lover-to-lover relationship? Yes. If you do it right, if you will wake up in the night and sing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, go and read it in Songs of Solomon chapter 8, verse 4, we tell you something, where he said the lover girl will wake up in the night walking in the streets looking for her lover. And similarly, we can actually, Songs of Solomon was actually symbolizing Christ and the church. And what did Solomon said in that song? He said, if you also will wake up in the night and sing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ from the Holy Ghost, I tell you, the Lord will come and begin to knock on your door early in the morning to wake you up and come and sing some more, because God dwells, he inhabited the praises of his people. And that is the lover-to-lover relationship that will make him to begin to reveal new things to you. And let's see the other aspect of what is the clause that the Lord put on the lover relationship that we are talking about. John chapter 14. Let's read John chapter 14 here. Verse 21 and 23. I said, all of this relationship is, you see the same type of relationship in the world. However, with Christ and the church, he has clauses in the relationship he has with us. John chapter 14, verse 21. as lover to for him, and he is her lover, and we are his lover. But he has a clause. Verse 21 says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Praise the Lord. The Lord is saying, point blank, that you are his lover, he is your lover, you are to keep his commandments. That is, it is on his own terms that we are to be in love. Again, in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So on whose terms then? It's on his terms. If you love me, you will keep my words. It's not saying he's going to have to keep yours. You keep his words. So it's on the terms of the bridegroom. That is what we are seeing here. You see, we have a lover relationship. It's on the terms, on his own terms. Because it's his kingdom. Remember that. It's the kingdom of Christ, not our kingdom, his kingdom. We are glad that he has called us. That he said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. By grace are you saved. So but without humility is how we serve him and worship him. We are to be his partner. And when you look at this relationship between husband and wife, it's similar thing. We say, well, Christ died for the church. How did you die for me? All those type of things. When you look at it, it is still similar thing. It is still similar thing. God is making us to see that the only way you can get to this height he is calling us onto is to pattern this life of ours after the life of Christ. Our goal is the fullness of the stature of Christ. We husbands, you men, and you church, you have to pattern your life after the life of Christ. You want to surrender to the Holy Ghost just like Christ surrendered to the Father. Similarly, God is going to judge us according to how we surrender to the Holy Ghost. Not so. We are going to be blessed. We are going to be used by God. We are going to be fullness of Christ. Is to come to the height where we are completely yielded to the Holy Ghost. That is lining up with these words that we are saying. And with the husband and wife also, God is going to be blessing you guys how you line up with this word. Submitting to that head that is put over you so that everything will be lined up with Christ. Now let's talk about the Lord and worshiper. His lordship over us is another relationship between us and Christ. Because he's our Lord. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, we see is an application of that. He's our Lord. But Psalm 45, let's read Psalm 45 first. In the book, this Psalm 45 is a prophecy concerning Christ and the church when he was talking about the king. I read verse 9 to 11. Now, remember, this is talking about the king, which is the king of kings, really. Verse 9 said, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Now it was the prophecy was exhorting the bride of Christ that he is your Lord, even though you are the queen, but he is your Lord, and worship him. That's what he was saying. The king's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen. Who is the queen? The bride of the king. And if we are saying this is prophesying about Christ, the king of kings, then the bride is the church. And he's saying, to hearken, O daughter, is now talking to the queen. Consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thy own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Now he said, forget thy father's house. Just like we also know. A man, the same thing with a woman, they leave father and mother and cleave and join to their spouse. And he used the word man, leave his father and mother and join to his wife. But here is exhorting the queen to forget his father and mother and be joined to the king. and it will greatly desire thy beauty. But he keep fast and point to it, he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. So this is the lordship and worshipper relationship we have with Christ. Now bring that back to husband and wife. Well, should I be worshiping my husband? The worship is reference. That's what the Bible used. Reference is like worship. When a reverend, a pastor is coming to your house and you call him a reverend, you are referencing the pastor. That is what it means. Your husband should be your hero, really, whom you are referencing, not the president of the America coming to your house. Your that husband is that president of your house there that you should be referencing. So that is what he is talking about here. And he has an example for us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. We are talking about the idea, remember that? And we are to shoot for that goal of the overcomers, which is part of what we are talking about here. Because when we are completely lined up with Christ, we will surrender all. The ego has to be surrendered in man, to surrender everything to Christ. The ego in woman, which is the pride, has to be surrendered to be able to do this, like the scripture says. Verse 6. Apostle Peter was saying, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So he just gave an example there of Sarah that is calling her husband Lord. That's like a worship. It's reference. He also said, see that ye reference your husband. See what I mean? So that is the Lord worshipper relationship that we have with Christ, that we can say, if that is how we are to be with Christ, that is how the wife should be to our husband, referencing our husband. And when you look at all of these literatures, all of these Bible verses we have just gone through, you will see one, just like I said, everything that we have pointed out here, Christ said, this is a relationship between him and us, but it's with a cross. It is in his own terms. Not on our terms, it's his kingdom. And so, we are glad that he has called us. And the same way, husband, it should be the one that is leading his household. The wife is helping the husband along. And whatever way, sometimes we want to help Christ, but we want it the way we want to help. See, that does not work. Think of it as a member of a church. I want to be a minister for Christ, but I only want to be a prophet. I don't want to be just an evangelist or this. People are trying to choose which way they want to help. But no, that's not what Christ wants. Christ is the one that digs out what he wants us to become. You can say, well, Lord, I don't want to be this. I want to use me this way. The same way some wives may only want to help in one direction, not in this direction. And say, if you don't want me to help you, then I won't help you. If you don't want me to do this, I can't do anything else. No. You are to... So when you say you surrender all, it is according to the terms of the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is expected to be what? To be as humble as Christ, as meek as Christ. Like I said, I am meek and lowly. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Why should the commandment of you, husband, be grievous unto the wife? When you say, well, if the commandment of the Lord is not grievous, why do we find it difficult to yield to it? That flesh manifestation is what we are still working on. As individual in Christ. That flesh manifestation is why we die daily. Otherwise, the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. He is meek and lowly. He is not banging us upon the air to obey him. It's willingly we have to obey him. Willingly we have to surrender. But the flesh wanted to rouse up ego, wanted to rouse up our own will. And that is why we need to die daily and crucify our flesh. Similarly, you see that in the husband and wife relationship, the wife has to die daily also. Humility, crucify the flesh, to be able to submit and surrender to all these precepts we just mentioned of how the relationship should be, the cross that Christ put in it. You are my friend, but you have to do what I say. When you are doing what I say, that's when you are my friend indeed. That's the cross between Christ and the church. And you can put that same cross between husband and wife. The wife is to do what the husband says according to that paradigm. And then you'll be friends indeed. And he's also a lover. I say, if you love me, you will keep my words, which means everything is on his terms, on the terms of the head, the bridegroom. Similarly, if Christ is the head of the man and man is the head of his wife, it's on the terms of the bridegroom that we are to forge this thing along. Now we know we are not there yet because the flesh did manifest and the enemy is there to rouse up the flesh. But if we press on to know the Lord, he is here to help us. And let's pray. Father, I just pray for every one of us that are listening to this exhortation, that you yourself will help us to come to that fullness of the stature of Christ and give us the grace. You have called us with that grace. Give us the grace to surrender our, to have that humility, to want to be the bride indeed that the Lord wants to be, even the bride of Christ, to be able to yield our members, to yield our egos completely to you. Just like the wife will yield to the husband, help we, husband, to yield to thee, Christ, so that we can be the example of righteousness that you call us to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.